morning, turning your Bibles to the Old Testament for one portion of Scripture to start with, from Deuteronomy, and it's chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you would please. If you've picked up an outline of what we're doing for the Sunday school, there's still some back there. You realize that we're talking about the subject that we'll have, which I'll say in just a moment, but we'll read the first five verses of chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, and you can follow along as I read. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land to which you go to possess it. And so they hadn't gotten to the land yet, and they were on their way. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I have commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And so there was a promise made if they were to take and do this. Hear, O Israel, verse 4, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And so we might say, well, this is for Israel and not for us. But it's also implied for us, too, as we go later on, that we're not off the hook. So hearing for us as well, too. Here, and the topic is found in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. This morning we're going to talk about the subject of the Trinity. The past couple of weeks we've talked about the individual ones by the different speakers of God, of Christ, and then of the Holy Spirit. This morning we're going to talk about the Trinity. I'm going to show you this. This is a familiar book to most of you, I would say. You probably read it from time to time. It's the Reader's Digest. And in there they have different things. One of the things, just as a little bit of a thing that I just thought was kind of amusing, was the quotes. And this one's by Leslie Nielsen. Doing nothing is very hard to do. You never know when you're finished. So as you think about that, sometimes if you're doing nothing, there's an end, maybe where, I don't know. But the idea about the Reader's Digest wasn't the quote necessarily, but the concept that's behind this particular book. In the word itself, it says digest. What does that mean? Extracting what?
The nutrition from the food.
Oh, well, that's in there too, but that's one form of digesting food. But the thought is, okay, the thought is to arrange systematically, usually in condensed form, or in a word summarized. And so, like in their book, bonus section, for instance, you won't have the whole book there. You'll have it condensed. You'll have it summarized, as well as perhaps some of the other articles. And they do a good job with that. And so, in this thought of the Trinity, is this the same thing? Well, it's condensed because it refers to, in fact, where's the verse for the Trinity? Give me the verse for the Trinity. Yeah, right. You won't find that. Just like Calvary, Uncle Dave told us that Calvary is only mentioned one time as he gave us our meetings. Trinity is not there, okay? But what we're talking about, the concept certainly is there. And so it's not the same as this particular book in the sense, because they try to take something that's full and condense it so it has some meaning to it. Whereas the word Trinity actually takes and expands the concepts of the three individuals. And so it actually does something different. Although it's summarizing the three, it does something different. And this morning you had the song books here. And why was that good? Because they had some visual parts to take and show you different things. And so I'm going to try to do that with the overhead and this area. So I need some people to pass out the paper. One sheet of paper for you to use your stuff on. Okay, do that. I'll move this over here. have a sheet of paper there to take and jot down for yourself so that you can take a look at this later on, perhaps. So. You're going to have one sheet of paper that you can write to and write on. I'm going to have some other things to take and do on some other worksheet here to take and explain some things as we go along here. So you can put your date down. Today is 10 what? All right, 10/28. And you can put down these here, A, B, C. Using letters this morning to take and talk about things in general that could be anything. So if we're talking about A, B, and C, and that they're all different items, and that position is important, how many different categories can we come up with? Yeah, how many different combinations? We could have the next one here, which is A, C, and B. That's different from that other one, right? You can also have B, A, C. You can have B, C, and A, C, A, B, and then C, B, and A. And you really can't have any more positions than that. Those are all the different positions that you can have with three things that are different items where position is important. Looking at the three of those things a little bit and thinking about those three things, you can notice that you can do this to them, and you can do this on your paper. It's taken, divide them off. Why? Because it looks like, well, we got two of these, and we got two of these, and we got two of these. And so we can end up having three groups with those split up like that. Okay. So I'm going to go to this first worksheet that's on my worksheet and rewrite this again. This is, you don't have to put this down, but split this up a little bit like this before into two groups, but let's say we take and decide to take and do to those things, let's eliminate one of the letters. Okay, well, so we'll pick this as an example of the letter B. We're going to eliminate that one. What do we have left out of those groups? Well, you have A and dash and a C. You have A, C and a dash, B, C, I'm sorry. You have dash A, C, and you have C, A dash, and you have C, B dash, and again, I'm sorry. And so while we have two groups here, and we eliminate, you notice that, okay, while we have just two letters that are kind of left, so over in this first group, you get AC, all right? Over here, you get CA, and CA down here, and a mixture of this here. And so you can have, like, the idea that if you take and eliminate one, you have just the two letters that are left in all the cases, but in reality, if they're the same thing in the sense of positioning, now we don't take and have it any concern that AC is the same as CA. If we say that position isn't important, then those two could be equal. We could reduce this group to just one thing. And so on your sheet, you have two groups here. We got group one, two, and three. If you eliminate B out of this group, you can get AC out of it. If you eliminate C, you can get BA out of it. And if you eliminate A, you get CB out of it. Now, you might say, well, I'm not even following you, but just bear with me in the sense that by eliminating one, you get one of the other ones. You know, what's the important thing about that? Well, thinking about of what we had last week, the last 3 weeks, and you put in the fact that this is A is equal to the Father, and B is Christ, and C equals Holy Spirit. You can add that to your sheet there. Then that takes on some other meanings. And what that takes on is the meaning of the fact of, even though that there's three and they can be this many, in reality you have different combinations of just the two. Sometimes you have the one, as we had God the Father. We spoke about that the first week. And as Tom brought about things from Acts 17, he mentioned about two, sort of like the back door of the unknown God, in Acts 17 there, and Paul trying to explain to him what God was like, that he was a creator, that he was a possessor, that he was a sustainer, that he was other things as well too, and he gave us that part. And then Carl Lehman gave us the part of the three parts of, first of all, he was born, and then second of all, he had ministry, and then third part is after that, after his death and resurrection, his future after that. And so he brought that. And then Jim had last week about the Spirit and the fact that the Spirit represents truth as well as he's a teacher. And so while the three are separate, in Scripture there's different combinations of these as together. And they're not only individually, but they're together. And so in these combinations, you can get the fact that you have God and the Holy Spirit. You can have the fact that it's Christ and the Father. You can have the fact that it's the Holy Spirit and Christ. And so that's what that kind of represents in the sense of not just by themselves, but different combinations. And depending on how much time we might have, we can maybe touch on a few of those. But you can see not only by themselves, as they talked about, but you can see them in combinations with two. And that's what this is trying to all represent. All these three represent breaking down to three. If you eliminate the one, which it's eliminated at different times, and different times it's different people. Another worksheet that I'm going to have for you right here, myself and for you to look at, is Again, I'll put these back up here. This is kind of like the original ones. I call this like the original that I had to start with as far as the different combinations that you can have with position being important. Then B is what? A banana. And C is a orange. I didn't have a cantaloupe, so C is an orange. But we have those three items. These are certainly three different items. They don't look like each other. They don't taste like anyone. They're three separate different items. And so looking at it from the standpoint of fruit, the apple, I'll put this the other way here. Then you can see it. I'm going to take and say that I prefer having apples all the time. So what does that leave me? Well, if I'm just looking at these, and these are all the possible combinations, how many can I have? Out of the... No, you could have six different combinations. But if you're considering apple, that's all that I want. None, okay. But let's say that we're just considering the first position only, then how many do we have? Two, right? We got this guy and this guy. If I'm considering to have the position in the first position only, and I only want apples, then that's the only two combinations that I can use and have. Now, suppose I say, well, I'm going to cheat a little here and go like, make this. Now how many do I have? If I'm only interested in apples, and I only consider the first position only, which is the first position over there, how many do I have in this one? Four. Okay, so you get this guy, and this guy, and this guy. You could also say, okay, let's do it this way. How many do I have in the second one? Six, because you have all of these, all right? But does that hold true to the thing? Well, no, because I've cheated, because now you got doubles of all those throughout the thing here, and you don't have just one separate thing if that's what you want to try to maintain. You're forced to say, well, I want apples all the time, and I'm going to put it, and I'm going to make it in the first position, but that violates the fact that they're different. And so, that'll get to something that's important a little bit later on here, in the fact of some things that we can't force too easily. Next worksheet. These are for... Going back to the original again. B, C. And C. Okay, that's the original again. Supposing at this time that we take and say that order is not important. Okay. Certainly each one of these could be moved around then they still remain an apple, an orange, and a banana. We don't care what position we put them in. Therefore, order is not important. And so what is that reduced to? Well, it reduces to this part. In other words, ABC represents all of these because these still remain the same no matter where I put them. There's still an apple, still an orange, and still a fruit. And so I'm saying the position is not important. Therefore, instead of having six different possibilities, I have one possibility, and that could be represented by A, B, and C. How else could you take and also get this same thing? Well, let's say if we say that A equals B and equals C. So then what do we have? Oops, I'm right off the screen. So we could have over here A. Six, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We could have that because now all these are equal, and it looks like a disaster, but in a sense, there's reduced to one thing, which is A, B, C, because they're all equal. These are not all equal. There's no way that these could be equal unless somehow I could disguise them. So in this case, this could never be all equal. But the possibility, if I made them all equal, then that could be reduced to one thing as well, too. Paper doesn't go there. All right, so back on your sheet that you're copying down here. There's this one other thing, and that is the fact that if equal, then you have A, B, and C. If position not important. A, B, and C. And so, maybe yours look a little neater than that. But these are kind of the main concepts of looking at some letters and then substituting the fact that, here's your sheet. You should have an add to that part that I just wrote there on the other one. This part here, this latter part. So your sheet should have this plus the fact that if they're equal, you have that combination, and if the position is not important, then they're equal, then they have down to one thing. So you get A, B, and C equal. So there's kind of a little summary through the letters of our topic for the idea of the Trinity. Sure. I'm sorry. And again, it's pretty nice to see that this thing that we started with originally, these six combinations over here that could be possible with three different things, come out to take and reduce to one thing if they're equal. And so we're saying that, again, these are not equal. They're three different items, and they remain three different items. They'll never be equal. Okay? Never equal. And so you can move them around any way you want to, and that still would give you down to the one order here, but that doesn't make them and reduce to the same thing. They're only reduced to the same thing when they're equal. What's this here? That's a potato? What's this? A baked potato. thing over here might be looking like, I don't know what, but... Huh? The big fry, right, French fry. So what is the difference between what I had over there and this? Between this and this, what's the difference? These could never be equal, are these here, but these can be. They're all a potato. All right, so they take on different forms. Individually, they're different. This is raw, this is cooked and baked, and this is fried, but still all three of these are equal. They're in the same family of potatoes. So these could be equal, but these never could. Okay? And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit. They're three distinct parts, and that's part of the Trinity, is they're three different things, but yet they're all equal. And that's not what the world kind of likes to take and give two reasons. I have one last thing up here that's used sometimes for a model that's talking about the Holy Spirit, or that's talking about the Trinity. That's, what's this? Hey, thank you. Okay, why is this used as the Trinity? They use this for boys and girls to take and try to show some visual stuff. Okay, it's got three different parts, all right? It has a shell, it has a yolk, and it has the liquid. But this, in a sense, doesn't truly represent the Trinity, because you have to have the shell first here. Otherwise, I've got all this gook in my hands, and then within the shell, you have the fluid, and that holds the yolk. And so, in a sense, it needs the support of in a certain order. So a certain order is sort of important. So it's a good representation of the fact that there's three in one, but it's not as good as this here, in the sense that there's three different families, but they're different in their characteristics. It's not like this, where these will never be equal. And so, again, while there's three different things there, and sometimes the world would consider the order to be important. It might put God first and forget about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Carol was talking about when they talked about Christ. They might not even talk about the Holy Spirit. As we talk about relationships, we can understand the relationship between a father and a son, or a father and a daughter, or a mother and a son, and a mother and a daughter. We understand those relationships, but then we throw in a spirit. Where does that fit into the picture? And so for some people, they might have never heard about the spirit before in some senses, or if they do, they don't know exactly where that fits into the picture. So they might understand about God in some senses, and they might understand about the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit might be another problem for people to take and understand. And that's the fact that they're all equal, and that positionally it doesn't make any difference if it's the Holy Spirit first. People talk about God first, and then Christ, and then the Holy Spirit. But if you talked about the Holy Spirit, and then Christ, and then God, it's still the same thing, because they're same equal. Positionally, it doesn't make any difference. And so the egg, I think, is an example, but not as good an example of the Trinity as this other one is with regards to that. One more worksheet that I have for me. How many there? Eight. Because you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8. Now you say, well, what's this? Well, again, this is what we use at work all the time, kind of like, and refer to in our heads sometimes. But this is kind of like three things taken at a time. But what's the difference? I kept thinking of this model. when I was thinking about the Trinity, and I kept saying, where am I coming up short? I'm only coming up with six. What happens when I consider it like this? Well, what's this doing differently? Well, this is considering the fact that there could be something off as well as on. This happens to represent binary numbers, and this happens to be the number of 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 in binary. These are the binary numbers, and they convert to decimal. And we use this at work all the time to take and set up electronic equipment and other things. And so this is not something that is thrown away. It's used quite a bit. Even though you might not use it, we do use it. So this is a little bit different because it's considering something that's off as well as on. With our other model, they're not ever off. Okay? And so there's nothing short with the other one. It is 6. And this one has 8. Now, in this case, we could say that, well, maybe 0 is the case. Okay? What does that represent? Everything off. Well, to some people, the Trinity is off. Everything is off with them. They don't care about God the Father. They don't care about God the Son. And they don't care about God the Holy Spirit. And so, in a sense, for them, it's off. Or you might care about God and believe in him, but not about the others. They don't want to believe that Christ is God. And then what about the Holy Spirit? So this could represent some people in the fact of their thinking about the Holy Spirit and the Trinity and the God the Son and God the Father in the Trinity. And so this is a model for them, again, of some things that are off and not on. Turn to Ephesians. We've got a little bit of time to take a look there at a couple. For that mathematical stuff, you may have to take a look at it. To me, it was a big help to take and try to understand the Trinity a little bit more than I had before in the sense of some things there. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read just a few verses starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, through which he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, in which he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So there's just a few verses from Ephesians, and in there, do you see the single people? There's single people mentioned, like in the first verse there, it's Jesus Christ, right? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, but is also an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And so not only are they singly there, but they're there in the combination of God and Christ in this particular case, in that verse there. And so they're put together. So if it happens to occur that Christ comes first, in this case Christ comes first, and then God comes, does that mean that there's difference in the position? I'm trying to say no, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference if Christ comes first and then God, or that God comes first and then Christ. Both of those are the same because positionally there is no position between them. They're all equal. Position is not important for the Trinity. It's only important in some people's minds, but to each share. And so you might find different orders that these will occur. Again, as we read in verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in here, it's God first and Christ second. But again, they're, because of being both equal, position is not important. And so he could go back and forth and switch these. He could hit one in place of first and then the other. And you'll find that as I read through the book of Ephesians here just recently, I had a strong sense that this was a tremendous book for the Trinity. Trinity in the sense that it brings out the fact of the three parts. It's like the workhorse for the Trinity in the sense that there's three parts, but yet in the first chapter here, there's a lot about what God does. If you want to know about more about God, it brings out things that God is doing. Blessed be the God of our Father, in verse 3, in Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and places in Christ. Who's that talking about? Blessed be the God, our Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. So who are the people involved? Huh? Besides us. I'm talking about with our subject here. It mentions about God and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But who's involved with this as far as the work goes? It's blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. So it's the Father that's doing the blessing. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross. And as you continue to go through, you'll find out that God is doing a lot of different things in the book of Ephesians at different times. Other times it may be the Spirit, although the Spirit is not involved too much. And just for, hold your finger there, and go back to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And so it's a very nice verse that has all three in there. If you receive Christ, you receive the Father. If you receive the Spirit, then you receive Christ. And so it's a, you can mark that down as a nice verse where they're all three together. But Jim brought out the verse and turn over to 16, chapter 16 of John. And verse 13, last week he said this verse here, read this verse, nevertheless, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And so that's why even in Ephesians, as you look through there, the Spirit's mentioned, but it's not mentioned very much. It's mentioned about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ much, much more. And so because the Spirit takes this position, as far as I'm concerned, of lower humility, if you want to call that, then we don't find out what he's doing exactly. But is the Spirit doing something? Well, as Jim prayed to bring out, he teaches, and he takes and does it in truth, although you might not see it as much. And so, again, there's three of them working together, but then there's also the ones individually, plus there's also the combinations of them in different ways, of the two of them in different times, different ways. Go back to Ephesians there. Chapter 2, and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who once We're afar off and made near by the blood of Christ. Drop down to verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And so it's because of the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read, that it's through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So here you have the three of them again showing up together in that particular verse, but it doesn't happen too many times. Where's the other verse that we're well known? It's a well-known verse where they show up all three times. Matthew 28, right, thank you. Matthew 28, which is baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So how many times do they show up together? Not too many times. But the idea that there are one, even as Tom had his message in Acts chapter 17, in Acts chapter 17 it talks about the Godhead. Okay? In Colossians, again, it talks about the Godhead. And so perhaps that would be, I would say, the closest you're going to find the word Trinity in some reform, the Godhead, and I believe that those refer to all three parts when it says the Godhead in those two instances. The idea that he was trying to suggest is in Deuteronomy that we read, first of all, that the Lord is one. And so while you have the three parts, they are one. And even in John, you can turn if you happen to be in John. We're done, I would say, with Ephesians there. You can look at this verse again, John chapter 10. He gave this as another verse that they can consider. And again, it's a verse that you would know very much, but perhaps don't think about it a whole lot. John chapter 10 and verse 30. This is the Lord Jesus Christ making this statement by saying, I and my Father are one. And so while there's three parts that were covered each week, there's also the idea of the Trinity, which, is, as I said, is not like a reduction of things, but it's an expansion of the three into a further furthering of their work by all three of them, as well as individually. The Bible Dictionary, Easton's Bible Dictionary, gives this as the definition of the Trinity. And by the way, they said that the Trinity first appeared around A.D. 168, or around A.D. 220. And so it was a term that man came up to take and talk about this. But the definition that's in Easton's Bible Dictionary says that the Father is a distinct divine person, distinct from the Son and the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ was truly God and yet was a person, distinct from the Father and the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is also a distinct divine person. And so it bears out the fact that there's all three of them, but it, together they make one, and they're all equal, even though they're distinct. So that's a thing that's kind of confusing for us, that sometimes we would take things that are different things and have them put together, and we would have kind of struggles that would be going on and battles, but there's tremendous unity in the three parts. And so that would be one thing that I would leave with you, that there's tremendous unity in the three parts and for our benefit. The other thing that I would leave with you is that above their name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, or the Trinity, or the Godhead, he puts his word above that. He holds his word higher than those names. And I like this thought that I just received this last week from the family radio. It says that the word of God is both exclusive and inclusive. And I said, well, where are they going with this, you know? Both exclusive. It's the only book like this. But yet it's the most inclusive. It has everything that we would ever have to have. And so it can be both at the same time. Exclusive as well as inclusive. That's the word of God that we have, that he's given to us. And so this person of the three persons that form the Trinity, we can represent them by letters. But the idea is to see that all those different combinations reduce to one. They reduce to one, and they function in unity, and they function for our benefit and for our good. And the book of Ephesians, if you took and here's my sheet I looked through. This is just putting down dots every time that it's referred to either God or Christ. It's loaded with all the things, different things that they do. And so I was amazed that this, if you want to consider something as a, like something for practical or work study, I mean, Jorge's been bringing this out at different times. It's tremendous as far as what they do individually as well as collectively.